This is Tani Talks Radio, where we talk a topic for the week for the audience members to keep. We now do it as pre-recorded audio, looking at different topics, ideas, and different elements each week for between 20 to 40 minutes or so. Rehashing, relooking, and reviewing different topics from over the years, and one of them is that of tefillin, the straps of life. Tefillin really is an amazing mitzvah. It can be life-altering. It could be life-changing, and it could be life-saving. My own tefillin are actually quite large. They are actually my dad's, who passed away when I was only 9. My dad was a Baal Tshuva and got his tefillin from Chabad. My tefillin are a whopping size 41. If you know anything about tefillin, that's a very, very large size. It's quite hard to find cases for the tefillin, especially the silver ones I've been looking for and wanting for years. And it's even harder as I am left-handed. We talked about left-handedness previously on the show, on the shir beforehand as well. Of course, the shir should be for the zechus and the Yeshua and the refua of all those in Eretz Yisrael, all of those in captivity, all those who are fighting for our life, fighting for our people, fighting for our country, that of Israel, and which shall enough from good things and coming of Mashiach speedily in our days. Tefillin are a way to connect to Hashem can actually save a person's life. In fact, here are some stories to prove it. Yeshiva World reports from November 2021. An incredible nace occurred during the deadly terror attack into the Kosel on a Sunday morning in November of 2021 when the life of Rabbi Zeva Katznel and Bogan was saved due to a bullet striking the exact place of his tefillin, Shilyan, saving his life. Rabbi Katznel and Bogan, 46, a father of 8 and a resident of the Jewish quarter of the Old City, was on his way back from Shacharis at the Kotel, still wrapped in his talis and tefillin, when he heard the sound of shooting. He later told a Channel 13 News from his bed in Hadassah Ein Kerem Hospital, "I was going home from Shacharis. Still wrapped in my talis and tefillin, I heard gunshots and chaos. I didn't really understand what was going on, but I realized that there was an incident. Suddenly, I felt a sharp pain in my arm, right at the place of my tefillin. When I realized what happened, I immediately returned towards the Kosel Plaza so I would be in a safe place. I understand what a great nace I experienced. I could have lost my life in a second. The tefillin is opposite the heart. There's a connection to Hashem and you feel protected. It was an extremely powerful experience." RavBerlin.com points out, You can merit to have a long life via the mitzvah of laying the tefillin, all in the merit of putting on tefillin. The moment you get up, you have to put on tefillin. Once there was a story about a bachor, a young man who screamed, "Tefillin, tefillin, 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 tefillin," again and again. This story happened in the United States in New York. He started screaming about his tefillin over and over and over again, and everybody started shouting. There was a bachor there who, after he got on the plane, remembered that he'd forgotten the need for tefillin. He remembered the need for his tefillin. Talking about being on a plane, he started screaming about the tefillin. There was a bachor there. He got on the plane. He remembered he'd forgotten his tefillin. He started screaming, "Tefillin, where are my tefillin? You won't fly without my tefillin. Bring me my tefillin. I'm not flying without my tefillin. The plane will not depart without my tefillin. I won't let you." So the plane comes over to him and says, "What's happening? Get out of here. You won't fly and your tefillin also won't fly." The bachor said, "No, I will fly, and my tefillin will also fly." This is what he said. So the pilot opened the door, threw him out of the plane. He rolled over, and the plane took off and never, ever returned. That plane that the bachor was thrown off of, that the bachor wasn't allowed to be on, that was the plane that collided with the second building of the Twin Towers. In the merit of his tefillin, the bachor was saved from being on board of that disastrous flight. Because without your tefillin, you can't fly. What's more, because he delayed the plane from taking off, 100,000 people were saved. Because in those 17 minutes that he delayed the plane, 100,000 people managed to escape from the second building. Because they'd heard that a plane had collided with the other building. Rabbi Vigler points out on Chabadik.com, Chabadic.com, "When I asked Shimon Yifrach, who was injured by terrorist gunfire in 2016, to put on tefillin one day, he proudly told me that he already had. In fact, he had a tefillin story he wanted to tell me. I used to serve in the Border Patrol unit, and in early 2016, I was stationed in a place called Aram in Kalandia. It began one morning, I had the urge to put on tefillin, but I didn't follow through. It weighed on my mind. Later in the day, an inner voice told me, 'Go put on tefillin.' I brushed it off, but it persisted. Go put on tefillin. Go put on the tefillin. I told my fellow soldiers that I was stepping aside for a minute, and I moved away from the massive concrete security block I had been standing behind. Literally seconds after I stepped aside, a terrorist driving a heavy commercial vehicle drove full speed into the concrete slab, hitting it with such force that it moved at least 6 feet. I was so close that the vehicle grazed my hand. Imagine what would have happened had I not still been standing there. There's no way I could have survived that. I have no doubt that tefillin saved my life. Since then, I try to put on tefillin every day, including this day as well. The Torah proclaims in Devarim, Chav Chet Pasuk Yud, the nations of the world will see that the name of Hashem is upon you and that they will fear you. The Talmud explains that this refers to tefillin, which have the power to inspire fear in the hearts of our enemies. The Lubavitcher Rebbe initiated the tefillin campaign right before the Six-Day War, calling upon Jews worldwide, regardless of religious affiliation, to begin putting on tefillin, even if they had never done so. He directed his Hasidim in Israel to visit army bases and put on tefillin with the soldiers. Days later, the war began, and Israel defeated the heavily armed Egyptian, Syrian, and Jordanian armies with record speed. Indeed, tefillin have the power to literally save lives. We saw it with the Six-Day War, and other people experience it themselves. So what are you waiting for? Go put on tefillin. Mendy Pollack points out on Chabad.org, after his father and father-in-law both passed away within the span of 2 years, their tefillin ended up in his house where they sat on the shelf undisturbed for decades. A few months before the story began in the article, he said to himself, these tefillin are sacred. They were used for a mitzvah for so many years. He's sure they could still be used by someone. He decided to send them to a scribe who inspected them both to ensure that they were in fine condition. The day the tefillin came back from the scribe, the sofer, it was a Monday. He put them in a bag and hung them up next to the front door so that he would not forget about them. That afternoon around 3 p.m., he was home, which was somewhat unusual for him. He heard a knock at the door and was greeted by a meshulach, an alms poor charity collector from Israel, who was raising money for his daughter's forthcoming wedding. He invited him in, gave him a snack and a cold drink, and sent him on his way with a check in hand. As he walked into the door, he remarked that in a few weeks, his son, at the time, would be celebrating his bar mitzvah. He had no idea how he would find money with which to purchase a pair of tefillin. He had lived in the neighborhood for 40 years. Many collectors had come to his door, but this was the first time he ever recalled anyone asking money for tefillin. Overjoyed, he stuck his hand into the bag and handed him a pair of freshly checked tefillin for his son. Laughing and crying at the same time, he expressed his gratitude and joy over this amazing turn of events. He then confided that his sister and brother-in-law would soon be making a bar mitzvah as well, this shliach, and that neither they or he had money for the tefillin. Without further ado, he scooped out the second pair of tefillin, handed it to the man. The only regret was that in his great excitement, he neglected to ask the tzedakah collector for his name and contact information. The following morning after the day of the story, his wife and he woke up early to visit their daughter who lived in Connecticut in Waterbury, 80 miles to the northeast of their home in Queens. Apparently they were both more tired than they thought, and they both dozed off, awaking abruptly when they crashed into a guardrail. The car was totaled, but the two of them walked out without a scratch. The state trooper could not believe it when he looked at them and at the car, and he looked at them and at the car. Never had he seen people survive such an accident without an injury at all. The author, the person in the story, felt it must have been connected to the tefillin. After 30 years of disuse, the tefillin were arranged to be used once again, and the following morning, his wife and himself were saved from a terrible accident. A friend of his drew his attention to the story in the Talmud concerning a man known as Elisha, the Winged One. Why was he known as the Winged One? In his time, the wicked government decreed that any Jew who wore tefillin on his head would have his brain pierced. Terrible decree. Undeterred, Elisha bravely wore tefillin in the marketplace. He once saw that he had been spotted by the government appointed observers with his tefillin on and ran away as fast as he could. The man caught up with him, but not before Elisha slipped the tefillin off his head and clutched it tightly in his hands. "What do you have in your hand?" the soldier asked harshly. "Oh, just the wings of a dove," said Alicia. "Oh, yes," sneered the stranger. "Open your hands and prove it." Left with no choice, Alicia opened his palms. A miracle occurred, and the tefillin had indeed become dove's wings. Why, of all the objects in the world, did the tefillin become dove's wings? The Talmud replies, just as the wings of a dove protect it, so do the mitzvos protect the people of Israel. Beautiful stories. Merkos302.com and Anash.org and Chabad from years ago, Merkos302.com, Anash.org, and Chabad, Chabad. Rabbi Yehuda Dukes shared a remarkable story of Hashgacha Pratis. On one Friday, Rabbi Yehuda Dukes, director of JNet, got a call from Gil in North Bend, Oregon. About 15 years ago, before the story, Chaim Hershkowitz, who many knew as the creator of the beloved Torah treasure videos, met him while on Merkos Shalichas there. With his help, Gil celebrated his bar mitzvah, began learning with a JNet Chavrusa. During their conversation, Gil mentioned an interesting story that began many years ago when he and his friend were finishing their service in the military. The two young men were walking along the banks of a river, when they saw a car inside the water with a family stranded on the roof. Literally stranded on the roof. Can you imagine walking by the river, seeing this family on the roof, seeing that they have no way out, and thinking that literally they were stuck and they could really have been in big trouble had they not been spotted by these people. But that's just a side note. Crazy to see that they were having this family stranded on the roof. Losing no time, they immediately jumped into action and were successful in saving the family, thank God. Several years before the origination of the article of the story, Gil received a call from a man named Jay, a well-known television producer. He introduced himself, telling Gil that he was one of the children who had been rescued with his family from the river many years ago. He was calling Gil to ask him to appear on national television with him so that he could share their story and receive recognition for his heroic actions. Gil, in his typical unassuming way, declined. Jay decided to go up to North Bend to meet with and thank Gil anyway. When Rabbi Dukes heard the story, he said, "Jay asked what he can do to thank you. Why don't you ask him to put on tefillin?" He proceeded to tell him about a JNet campaign that was launched to inspire people to get others to do a mitzvah. And Gil decided to do just that. He sent Jay a text message informing him that he would soon be going through a medical procedure and that it would mean a lot to him if Jay would put on tefillin in his zechus. "I have some tefillin somewhere, and I will look for them today," Jay had responded. "With or without tefillin, I will be asking our king for nothing but good for your test." The power of tefillin, the power of these stories, the power of a mitzvah. From Detroit Jewish News, "Wearing tefillin improves your heart function, may even save your life," a study shows. A study conducted by researchers at the University of Cincinnati, UC College of Medicine, suggests Jewish men who put on tefillin every morning may receive cardiovascular health benefits. The ritual, which involves the tight wrapping of an arm with leather branding as part of daily prayer, may generate remote ischemic preconditioning, RIC, that results in protection during heart attacks. We should never know from such things. RIC is an experimental method of protecting the heart and other organs by temporarily restricting blood flow, triggering the body's natural protective mechanisms against tissue damage caused by low oxygen levels. Jack Rubenstein, a doctor, associate professor in the Division of Cardiovascular Health and Disease and a UC health cardiologist, says he studied 20 Jewish men living in greater Cincinnati, 9 who wear tefillin daily and 11 who don't, all aged 18 to 40 and all in good health. His researchers recorded the participants' vital signs, drew blood for analysis of circulating cytokines and monocyte function, and also measured blood flow in the arm not wrapped with tefillin during the early morning and then after wearing tefillin for 30 minutes. We found people who wear tefillin in either the short or long term recorded a measurable positive effect on their blood flow that has been associated with better outcomes in heart disease, says Rubenstein. Blood flow was higher for men wore tefillin daily and improved in all participants after wearing it just once, explained Rubenstein. Men who wore tefillin daily also had fewer circulating cytokines, signaling molecules that cause inflammation and negatively impact the heart than non-users, indicating that daily use elicits an effect similar to that observed with other methods of eliciting remote ischemic preconditioning-like effect. Researchers have studied preconditioning by inducing small heart attacks in animals and found that they protected the animal from larger, more serious heart attacks in the future. The same preconditioning could be used by partially blocking blood flow in one part of the body and thus serving as a protective element in another part of the body to lessen the injury, says Rubenstein. The problem with translating this to people is we don't know, God forbid, when someone will have the heart attack, says Rubenstein. It's almost impossible to precondition someone unless they are willing to do something daily to themselves. Tefillin use may, in fact, offer protection as it's worn on an almost daily basis. Rubenstein says there are also studies that have found Jewish Orthodox men have a lower risk of dying of heart disease compared to non-Orthodox men. This protection is not found in Orthodox women who don't usually wear tefillin. Maybe for all of these reasons, Chabad is so keen on getting people, any Jewish male, to put on tefillin around the world. They have the unbelievable zechus. They're involved in such holy work, such beautiful work, that they try to get this done every single day. They have the ultimate zechus, the beautiful zechus of trying to do this. Rabbi Nachman Seltzer points out in Zera Shimshon, the Eishes Chayil, Shlomo Reichenberg lived through the Holocaust suffering like so many members of Klal Yisrael. At one point, he was sent to a relatively small concentration camp with a population of some 3,000 inmates. There, he tried to stay under the radar as best he could. One day, as he was walking outside his barracks, he was suddenly set upon by a Jew he didn't know, a man he had never spoken to, a total stranger to him. Inexplicably and without warning, the stranger began punching and beating him to the point where he literally caused him to bleed. Shlomo couldn't understand why he was being attacked. "What are you doing?" The man continued hitting him with his fist. "Stop hitting me," he cried, but the Jew carried on beating Shlomo with all of his might. It took a while, but the beating finally came to an end. Blood was flowing from his wounds, and he was in agony. "Why did you hit me?" he demanded. "I don't even know you." "It doesn't matter," the other replied. "It doesn't matter. I don't understand. Why did you lift up your fists and hit me?" "You will now come with me to barrack number 10, the stranger said. "There, we will learn the truth about you and why I just beat you up." It was obvious he wasn't being given a choice. Shlomo Reichenberg followed his attacker to Barrack 10, wondering what lay in store for him. It didn't take long for Shlomo to understand why they were going to Barrack 10. One of the prisoners housed there was the Jew who served as the unofficial arbitrator of all disagreements, arguments, and fights within the camp. Shlomo's attacker was leading him to this man to be judged for what he still did not know. They were allowed into the barracks and brought before the judge. "What is the nature of your disagreement?" he asked them. Shlomo spoke first. "I was walking outside my barrack this morning," he began, "when this man," he pointed at his attacker, "began beating me up for no reason. He punched me and slapped me and made me bleed. I don't even know why. I've never seen him before. I've certainly never exchanged 2 words with him. Yet he decided to attack me unprovoked and for no obvious reason." The judge turned to the attacker. "What do you have to say for yourself?" "I had a very good reason for hitting this man," the attacker said. "Yes, I saw him smiling to himself as he stood outside his barracks, not once, but twice." "So what if he was smiling?" the judge asked. "Why is that a reason to attack him?" "Let's analyze the situation," the man said. "Everyone in the camp is slowly starving to death, and the Nazis barely give us enough food, yimach shemam, to keep body and soul together. Now, you and I both know that people who are starving do not smile. And yet I saw this man smiling, as I said, not once, but twice. Let's take a minute to understand what that means. If he is smiling, then it stands to reason he isn't starving, because starving people do not smile. Yet how is it possible that he isn't starving when every single inmate is suffering from not having enough to eat? The answer is simple. The reason he isn't starving is because he is working with the Nazis, who are giving him extra rations as a reward for his collaboration. I'm sure you will agree that a Nazi collaborator deserves to be beaten even worse than the beating I gave this man. That is why I attacked him. The judge turned back to Shlomo and said, "He makes a strong argument, or at least raises a solid question. How do you respond?" Shlomo looked at the judge and at his attacker and made the decision to tell him the secret that lay behind his smile. "You have just accused me of being a Nazi collaborator," he told the attacker. "You made the erroneous calculation that seeing me smile, I must be working with the enemy, so since only then would I have enough food. What if you were wrong? What if a person can in fact smile for reasons that have nothing to do with having enough food? I will explain what I'm talking about. A few months ago, I and a few of my friends were somehow able to get a hold of a pair of tefillin. I cannot go into the details of how we managed to do this, but since that great day, I've been able to don a pair of tefillin every morning. When you saw me smile, I was thinking about the fact that I have the merit to wear tefillin even here, in this terrible place in Gehenim, and how my connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam, with God, is still intact even here, in this form of Gehenim. That is why I smile, not once, but twice. It had nothing to do with food, and everything to do with the satisfaction I receive from my ongoing connection with Hashem. I am so lucky I have a pair of tefillin to put on every morning. As a Jewish man who has been granted such incredible good fortune, how can I not smile? Needless to say, the judge ruled in favor of Rav Shlomo Rauchenberg. Such beautiful stories, such beautiful elements, such beautiful depictions of how the tefillin really can save our lives. The tefillin is a way to connect to Hashem. The connection, the straps, it's a way to bind ourselves to Hashem. We're saying, Ve'eras sechli le'olam, ve'eras sechli v'tzedek, v'mishvat v'chesed. We bind ourselves to Hashem with truth and righteousness and justice. We bind ourselves to Hashem. We connect ourselves to Hashem. We wrap ourselves to Hashem. We take these beautiful objects, these holy objects that are made of leather and cow parts and animal parts, and then we elevate them, because that's what we do in this world. That's what we do in this lifetime. We take elements, we take different physical things, and we raise them to the spiritual. We bring them to a higher realm. We bring them to a higher purpose. We bring them to a higher being. That's what we do here in this world. And that's what we should do every single day. We take mitzvahs, we take chesed, we take learning every single day. We should do what we can to send forth beautiful things, beautiful aspects, beautiful depictions of this world, to do what we can to put goodness in this world, to put mitzvahs in this world, to put chesed in this world, to put kindness in this world. And with tefillin, we can do that. We can connect to those around us. We can connect to Hashem. We can connect to the world. And they really could be life-saving, whether it's saving a bullet, whether it's saving someone from not having something for their bar mitzvah, whether it's leading you from a connection, from saving a family, or whether it's saving your soul. These tefillin are life straps. They're straps of life. Honor them. Cherish them, treasure them each day as a Jewish male. You get to wear them and get to use them and get to connect to Hashem. They are really straps of life, and they're a beautiful thing, and we should use them and wear them and cherish them every single day. This has been a Tani Talks Radio, where we talk a topic for the week for the audience members to keep, and I'm your host, Tani.